Welcome to the Companion Chapel Everyday Bible Study Broadcast. My name is Mike, coming to you from the Great Lakes area of beautiful Ontario, Canada, on this gorgeous Wednesday, April 3rd, 2024. Coming right up, it is the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3. He does this little wrap-up here. Now, you'll see a key word in Habakkuk, chapter 3, verse 1, Shiganath. Okay, so that means that we have to look for that somewhere else in the Bible. That's how you solve the Bible, forms threads through the Bible, and this is only found in one other spot. That's Psalms chapter 7. So he's trying to point us there. He's saying, listen, now a lot of commentators and a lot of people think, oh, Habakkuk chapter 3 should be one of the Psalms because they count that as a superscription and they count the last two words as a subscription. It's not. It's Habakkuk chapter 3. He's pointing to us. Psalms chapter 7. We're talking about here in Habakkuk. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? There's nothing more important than where you go when you die. Morals is on the individual. That's why it's the first seal, trump, and vial. It's on the individual. And the second seal, trump, and vial is ethics. Individual thought patterns are morals. That's personal thought patterns that translate into intentions and actions. That's your morals. That's your sense of agency. That's your spirit, the intellect of your soul, and your judgment of agency. You have to be careful it doesn't get corrupted. Your spirit is your psyche, the intellect of your soul. It's a closed energy system. People's morals get corrupted by what? Entropy, information theory. You know, there's no word for information in the Bible. If the word information is not in the Bible, there is a word for it. It's called light. And that's what comes into your psyche, your spirit, your character, the intellect of your soul. That's your reactive attitude that motivates all actions. It's a closed energy system. Okay, you get a psychological reaction processed by the brain, and you get a physiological response. Maybe I'll put my glasses on. Maybe I'll, it comes down to feeling of agency and judgment of agency. You have to study these things to understand what they're doing to us. It's psychological warfare on us. It's mind control to reduce your ability to think critically and independently. And he's warning us, who is behind all this? Morally corrupt people that get together and form a set of institutional standards that collective individuals establish, an ethically corrupt system. So, governmental systems. Mankind has a 100% failure rate at governing ourselves. Habakkuk blew me away. This book blew me away because I didn't see this before. I didn't see the in-depth message, but it's easier for us today. We have such an advantage over anybody else in any time of history because we can see it playing out on the world stage today. We see these ethically corrupt governments. Remember, they keep calling it a democracy. And remember what Abraham Lincoln said, a democracy is by the people, for the people, of the people. Okay, but government officials are supposed to keep economic interests separate from political power, but they don't do it. So you have a capitalist corporocracy. When government officials, and this was written in here, in Habakkuk chapter 1 and chapter 2, government officials and big business meet behind closed doors, democracy dies. It dies in its tracks. Out comes a fascist, capitalist corporocracy, and it's a system of pillage, plunder, and oppression. And they sow the seeds of hatred and phobias across the world with their aggressive imperialistic nationalism. And we see this happening here. We're not talking about sovereign governments in the book of Habakkuk. We're talking about them, but we're mostly focusing on the people behind them, identifying the people. And that goes all the way down to passively, aggressively supporting this system. Are you part of this capitalist corporocracy where it's all about progress, profit, consumerism, materialism? These things are ecologically impossible. Infinite growth, infinite spending, infinite global investment, global growth, global spending. These things are a paradox of impossibilities. And we can see it failing on a world stage today. A great disconnect between the rich and the poor. They've just looted the middle class, and now it's a time of decadence in what could have been the greatest country in the history of the world, the United States of America. It's too bad. And they're just destroying their own country through this governmental system. That's a 100% fail. That's what God says. You can't govern yourselves. But there's something here that we have to pay attention to in Habakkuk chapter 3, and I want you to think about this for a second. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet on Shiganath. Now, I don't know why it was capitalized. I got some notes here, I think. Okay, this means there's no reason for it to be capitalized. It means a crying out loud of something important. So, something important, then we have to go to Psalms chapter 7 and see the same subject matter. So, we think about this. Psalms chapter 7, and I'm only going to hit a few verses, but in Matthew 24:19, Jesus Christ says, "Woe to those with child who give suck in those days." And what's he talking about? Okay, now this is easy, because here's your glossary link in Psalms chapter 7. And the other glossary link we'll hit is James 1:15. These are the people behind the system that Habakkuk is warning us about that we see playing out on the world stage today. You follow the money and you see a clear pattern. It is up to the individual to have an intellectual integrity towards the truth now and historical truth. And we see a country trying to erase history right now. Let's pull down statues. Let's stop this in Canada. They're calling this, if you can believe it, there's a bill being passed right now. What I'm doing could get me life imprisonment. Bring it. I don't care. Listen, if you don't see me teaching the Bible anymore, because I won't sugarcoat it, and the Canadian government is calling this hate speech, and they're saying hate speech is now life imprisonment, then make sure you try and find me in the Canadian prison system and hook me up with some canteen money. You know what I'm saying? Okay, let's go here. So woe with those with child to give suck in those days. And you endure to the end. We know that. We're in tribulation now. Jesus Christ told us in John 16, you're in tribulation right now. The book of James, the first chapter, is all about you are in tribulation right now. All of us have to be tested. I don't know who these mid-trib and pre-trib people think they are. We have to get tested. God has to see who we are. Anyways, I don't want to get on that. I'm getting off subject, but then obviously you have to go to the first chapter of Revelation and see, John, I'm your companion in tribulation, man. This is no cakewalk. God has to test us out. So what if those... Woe unto those with child who give suck in those days. That's the days when God's just about to wrap up the affairs of time in this flesh age. During tribulation, right now. And here's your glossary link. Behold, he travaileth with iniquity, and hath conceived mischief, and brought forth falsehood. He's nursing it along like a child. So let's go over these key words here. This is a setup for Habakkuk chapter 3. Behold, he travaileth. That's kabal in the Hebrew. That's take a pledge and you're bound by it. Bound by what? The iniquity. That's the evil ideologies, avan in the Hebrew. You've taken a pledge to your own evil ideologies. That's what idolatry is. It's just you have different ideologies. You think you know better than God. You think you know how to govern yourself better than God and how we should all govern ourselves. Well, it's a 100% failure rate. Mankind simply must be... Free will entities simply have to be governed. And God will not violate the principles of free will. You go do what you want, think what you want. But you cannot violate the principles of God without consequence. They have evil ideologies. They've conceived, that's hara, that's devised, formulated, an evil construct in your mind. The etymology of this word hara means conceived and swelling. The human ego makes evil construct grow. As individuals nurse it along. Jesus Christ, woe unto those with child who give suck in those days. You're nursing these evil ideologies along and protecting it like a child. This word mischief is amal in the Hebrew. It means the produce of their labor. It's demanding, exhausting labor. They've just tricked us. They just tricked us out of the best hours, out of the best days, out of the best years of your life to get into this rat race that's ground into you. Ground into me, deeply ingrained habits of thought into you since I was born, that you got to get out there and you got to be part of the rat race, which is just beyond all reasonables to me. It never made sense to me. The rat race shows no humanity in the individual. You're just a statistic on a government chart. You're just a statistic on one of Satan's charts. He is the treasurer of the world. You give up the best days, the best years of your life. Chasing what? The next paycheck and some shiny things. The next paycheck and some shiny things. It never ends. And you labor. It's demanding, exhausting labor. God will always give you a way out. Like he gave me a way out. I was like, what am I going to... Did he give me a check for $1 million and fill up my driveway with new vehicles and say, there you go, little Mikey, you white trash? No. Listen. My way out was moving into an abandoned house that had been condemned, that's family owned, and then living with no hydro for 2 years because they said we can't give hydro to this place. Finally, I fought it, and this is just my way out. God will give you a way out. You might not like it, but just this is my personal way out. I've rejected society. I've rejected mainstream society flat out. You can't walk with God while you're holding the devil's hand. So I need Hydro here to do this. And so finally they come along, and we got the Electrical Safety Authority up here. And finally, after years of me, I'm squatting here. I have the right. I have the right. I'm a sovereign citizen of planet Earth. I'm one of God's children. We pay our taxes on this property. It's huge, 77 acres, abandoned house. The place is a dump. But look at what they gave me. They accepted that I'm a squatter here, but they call me a non-occupant. I'll take that. I'll take that all day long. What a blessing. Thank you, God. Get electricity here. It's very difficult for me to pay for it. Whatever you can help me out with. This is a registered nonprofit ministry. Go to companionchapel.com if you can help with the internet and the hydro. And I just want to sit here and study more and pray more and broadcast more. That's what God wants me to do, and that's what I'm going to do. Behold, he travaileth with iniquity, and hath conceived mischief, conceived it inside him, and brought forth falsehood. Falsehood is shakar in the Hebrew. Lies, deception, chronic disappointments, bitter disillusionment. And he made a pit and digged it and has fallen into the ditch which he made. That's Isaiah chapter 14, which is one of my favorite spots to read. It's so comforting. You know, Satan himself there, Lucifer, fallen morning star. And you follow the subject. We're all stars in the Bible, bright shining life forces. All the stars sang for joy, God's children. At one point, before we fell, the one third that fell, all of us, the whole human family, in totality, shouting out in infinite felicity for Father's joy, for his pleasure, for his glory. That's what he made us for. That's what he created us for. He never intended ever for us to go through this flesh experience. We're spiritual entities going through a flesh experience for one thing and one thing only, for correction. And this is what people do to themselves. They follow this guy Satan, like we all did. And God's given us a way out. He sent his only begotten son. What more could he do? But listen to Satan. For thou hast said in thy heart, Satan, you fallen star, you bright shining life force, you fell. I will ascend into the heaven. I'll exalt my throne above the stars of God. That's all God's children. That's what Satan thinks. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation the size of the north. That's God's spot. That's where he's going to sit. This is what Satan thinks. I'll ascend above the heights of the clouds. It's clouds of witnesses. We see that thread through the Bible. We're clouds of witnesses. We're hosts of heaven. We are the stars. We are the angels. Mark chapter 12 or 10. It's like Jesus Christ just gets fed up and just says, we are the angels. Okay, do you understand that? As soon as you're out of this flesh body, you're one of God's angels. But you're going to go to one side or another. There's going to be a great separation of people. And if you follow this guy who thinks he's going to win, I'll ascend above the heights of the clouds. I'll be like the Most High. And this is what God says to him. Listen to you, Satan. You'll be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. I'm going to mop you up in a bucket and slosh you down there. And anyone else that wants to dig their own grave, you can go down into the sides of the pit. That's just the lake of fire, which just means harbor or haven. And fire is the internal passion of the mind. It's your burning emotion. And there's a huge thread that runs through the Bible. And these mainstream Christians, you know, they actually make it look like God's having a barbecue of humans. You sick puppies. You sick puppies to teach that to children, that God is like a Hitler or a Stalin or somebody that's going to barbecue people. That's the internal passion of their mind, their ideologies. They can never be corrected. They think everything's an argument. When you talk to them, we pray for these people. I have a huge deadening sadness inside me for people that I love to pieces, man. I just love these people. And they just can't get over the ways and things of the world. They're in a cult. They're a bunch of mice in a maze. They're in that rat race. It's money, ideology, coercion, ego. They just keep thinking that their stuff and things are going to be their fulfillment. The emptiness of the material world will never be a fulfillment. And add that on to just the meaninglessness and insincerity of the superficial world. But people, for some reason, think that's going to fill an inner void. It's going to fill an emptiness. It's going to make people think, don't listen, rich man, showing everybody your bank account and your shiny things. You're the only one that cares about that. And when you get a group of people around you that seem interested in that, they're only watching you circle the drain because they want your stuff and things when you check out of here. Those are called vultures. Somebody that really cares about you could care less about your bank account, about your stuff and things. And if that's what your fulfillment is, then you have a huge inner void that I pray for. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can give you, fulfill that inner void. You go somewhere when you die. Do you think there's a trailer on a hearse? I don't understand these people. And especially baby boomers now, sitting around in their late 70s, 80s, pushing 90, with millions of dollars they've hoarded in their bank account. What do you think? There's a trailer on a hearse? Who God gives much to, he expects much in return. And people get the spirit of stinginess from the devil. God expects you to give up something, to donate something that you cherish, to prove to him you're not a coveter. Now let's talk about these people here. Here we go. Here's the rest of this thread. For every man is tempted. This whole James chapter 1 is about going through tribulation. We are all tempted. And when he is drawn away of his own lust, because you're not walking with God, you're holding the devil's hand, your own lust, and enticed, that's your desires will rule over you. That's the curse on Cain. Hey, stuff and things is going to rule over you. You think that becomes your identity. I walked it, dude. So I can talk it. I used to think having the nicest pickup truck, having the nicest sports car, having like the nicest things, people would look on me like, oh, well, there's somebody. He's all out in a bag of chips. That's just the emptiness of the material world. That's just such an empty thought pattern. That's called spotlight syndrome. That's actually, you know, you have something wrong with you if you think like that. When Cain, all his longings and wantings will rule over you, nobody else cares about your stuff and things. And if that's your fulfillment, you have an emptiness. And we pray for you, drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when the lust have conceived, who give suck in those days, have conceived. Your lust has conceived. It bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Now let's be careful about this word death, because death in the original language never denotes non-existence. You'll have a spiritual consciousness. Energy cannot be created or destroyed. Your consciousness is spiritual life. A conscious existence in communion with God. And I can't use spiritual death anymore. It's too misleading. Too many people were asking me on email, what do you mean spiritually dead? Like, are we just out? No. Spiritual corruption. Because of your ideologies. Because you think you know better than God. Which is just irrational. God can't reconcile irrational people. If you think you know better than God, he's saying, listen, then you can go play somewhere else. You don't want to listen to me. You don't want me in your life right now. That's fine. You go play somewhere else. And you'll have a conscious existence separate from God, because that's what you want. God is fair. They will exist in other parts of the earth where there is no praise or presence of God whatsoever. And you'll be comforted there, as it's written. It's nakam in the Hebrew. It's an onomatopoeic word. And it's nakam. It just means the wailing and gnashing of teeth as you try and prove your point to people that just don't care. And none of you care over there, and you can just fade to black over there, and it's the saddest thing. And we pray for these people, constantly praying for these people. They'll be comforted in hell. They love living in torment. They love insulting others right now, lovers of themselves, lovers of personal gain, personal wealth, overfed, unconcerned, unthankful, ungrateful, unloving, unforgiving. They have no self-control. They invest in anything as long as there's a return. When they get some money, it's all about personal gain, personal wealth, self-occupation. And they love throwing around insults and trash-talking others. Listen, you can do that forever, because we're going back to a place of peace beyond our present comprehension, beyond our imagination, where there's billions of people, and you can look anywhere you want, and you know you can trust that person. It's a place of perpetual friendship, of unity, of coming together, of understanding each other, of loving each other, caring for each other, sacrificing for each other. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ promises us. And we're going to do that little wrap-up here in Habakkuk chapter 3. But I just wanted to do that start, because Habakkuk pushed us to the same subject matter in Psalms chapter 7. We're talking about these people, and we pray for these people, always in competition with each other. You know, they stand for nothing, fall for everything. They know everything about nothing and nothing about everything. And if you just want to run your mouth for the rest of your life, since a lot of people seem like that, then you can have it. God is fair. He doesn't want any injustice to his creations, and that's us, his children. And so he just says, okay, then you can have it. You can have it. You don't want to be in the heaven side. I can't force you to be there. You don't belong there. You don't want to be there. and that's fine. God desires no injustice for his creations. The heathen desire another way other than God's way. God is fair. You can have it. Go play somewhere else. And we pray for you because it's just going to be torment. You see these people now. There's no inner peace in them. They have put a facade on. They always need external stimulation from a screen. And these screens are all about the propaganda. It's all about research impact on people to get people to agree, obey, comply to whatever they say. Get them in the cult. The only cult people never see is the one they're in. It's money, ideology, coercion, ego, mice. Deprogram yourself from that cult. Get your exit counseling from the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray for the whole human family. That's the setup for Habakkuk chapter 3. Well, thank you very much for watching. Have yourself a great day, and bye for now.